We'll open up in the book of Proverbs in the first chapter. So if you can just find the book of Proverbs, we'll start there. Now, I want to read you one verse for a text verse. So as you find the book of Proverbs, I'll ask you if you would to rise for the reading of the Word of God. And I do ask you, read it in your own Bible with me. Don't rely on listening to a preacher. Y'all hear me? Don't rely on listening to a preacher. We get things wrong. We misquote. We do everything else. We're human. But bring your own Bible every time you come to church and read it from your own Bible. In book of Proverbs, the first chapter, the seventh verse, we'll just read this one verse and we'll go to the Lord. It says here, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And Lord, this evening I just ask you to help me to preach these things that you've laid upon me all throughout this day and before. And ask you, Lord, to help us that we be taught, Lord, that we be instructed, Lord, in the way to go, and that we hear, Lord, what you've written for us in your Word. And we ask you this in your name, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Well, preach some on the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. It says here, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." In another place it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And, you know, all throughout life we try to gain knowledge from the time that we're born, from the time we're a baby child. We're trying to learn something, trying to learn what things are, trying to learn how to say things, trying to learn how to go, how to do. All throughout our life we're trying to learn, and so we want knowledge. But knowledge itself doesn't help us but just so much if we don't have any understanding. We like to have understanding. In one place it says, "With all thy getting, get understanding." And for all of that, even if you have knowledge and even if you understand things, if you don't have wisdom, you'll still do the wrong things. And so we need knowledge and we need understanding and we need wisdom. Now, we read before, spent many Wednesday night on these first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs, and how these first nine chapters tell the tale of the two women, the one who is the wisdom of God Himself, the true woman, and then there's the false woman who's this world's wisdom. All throughout the first nine chapters we see them. Now, I'm not going to go back into that tonight, but I just want to look at this thought that comes out in here. This is the fear of the Lord being the beginning of knowledge, and the beginning of wisdom. Now, maybe I'm not too smart, but I know you can't start at the end of a thing. And you really don't do no good to try to start in the middle of something. You ever picked up a book and tried to start in the middle? It don't make no sense to you. You got to start at the beginning. And if we're going to have any knowledge that matters, it begins with the fear of the Lord. If you want to know how people can go out and into school and into college and come back and be an educated idiot, it's because all they got was the world's education. They never got real knowledge. Because real knowledge starts with the fear of the Lord. Now I said the fear of the Lord. If we do not fear God, we know nothing. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You have no knowledge if you do not fear the Lord. If the idea of God's holiness does not put you in your place, does not sit you down, does not make you realize how small you are and how unholy your flesh is, then you know nothing. You are ignorant. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Until we come to that point where we know about God, where we know that God is holy and that He is perfect, we know nothing. We know nothing of love until we know the love of God. I thought I knew what love was before I was saved, but I didn't. I didn't. You really can't know anything about love before you're a child of God, before you're saved. Why not? Because love is of God. God is love. And if you know nothing of God, how can you know anything of love? You really can't. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Before we can know anything, before we can understand anything. Have you ever asked God for wisdom? Have you? Have you ever asked Him in your prayer, "Please give me wisdom"? One of my most common prayers. I ask for mercy and I ask for wisdom probably more than I ask for anything else. But you know, if I'm going to ask for wisdom, how am I going to get it? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. If I'm asking God for wisdom, what I really need to do is fear Him more. More. Well, let me move to another verse that's in here. I've got three verses in Proverbs. I'm just trying to tell you where I'm starting at. The fear of the Lord. So what is the fear of the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? If you've got to have the fear of the Lord in order to have knowledge, in order to have wisdom, you can't have it unless you have the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? And do you have it? Well, in Proverbs, in this same book of Proverbs, in chapter 8, turn to chapter 8 with you. I want you to look in verse 13. The fear of the Lord is, here's what you need. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You know, there's some things you're supposed to hate in this life. I know I just said God is love, and I just said that the way you know a child of God is by the love of God. But do you know there's some things you're supposed to hate in this life? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's what it says. If you don't hate evil, then you don't fear God. That's what it says. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth that I hate. There's four things in there. There's four things in there. And if you can get this down, you'll know what it is to hate evil. Pride. This world loves pride. Says you need to have pride in yourself. You need to teach your children to be proud of themselves. Says you need to have self-esteem. That's what this world teaches you. They'll teach you that at the schoolhouse. They'll teach you that on the billboards. They'll teach you that if you've got a television set. I know they pump you full of it on that. And I know the very music of this world tells you about being proud of yourself and tells you you ought to be proud of who you are. It says you ought to be proud of everything about yourself. But this Bible here says to hate pride. Now you can't put them two together. You're either going to believe what this world tells you, or you believe what God tells you, and one of the two of them then is a liar. Either this world is lying, or God's lying, and you have to make up your mind which one it is. And I believe God. And I believe that this world don't know what it's talking about when it tells you you need to be proud of yourself, you need to keep your kids to be proud of themselves. You don't neither. You need to hate pride. Hate pride. You know why it is that spend so much time up here preaching about things that most all this world and most of the churches call foolish, about things like the way you dress? Because the way you dress, if you do it right, if you do it according to the Word of God, will be modest. You know what that means? That means to be unassuming. It means to be not draw attention to yourself. It means that you try not to be the one that gets everybody's eyeball turned to you. Now, it tells you a couple of other things too, but I can teach you the other things by the law. I can teach you to cover your nakedness by the law. I can give you a dress code that will cover your nakedness. I can teach you that a man dresses like a man and a woman does like a woman by the law. I can give you a code to go by and you can follow it. But I cannot teach you modesty by the law. It's a spirit. And it's the opposite of pride. It's the opposite of pride. How do you have modesty? I'm not just talking to the ladies here, men. How do you have modesty? You hate pride. You hate pride. You hate to try to draw people's attention to you. It should be that when we walk into a place, we don't want everybody looking at us and looking us up and down, head to toe. We don't want people bragging on us and what kind of clothes we got. We should hate that kind of thing. It should be that the last thing we would want would be to spend a whole ton of money making sure we got the right pervert's name on a bag or a tie. We should hate that kind of thing. Should hate pride. Hate it. We should hate it. And I'm not just talking about everybody else's pride. Because hating everybody else's pride is just being full of your own. I'm talking about hating our own pride. I mean, we need to be the kind of people that don't like to be lifted up. Don't like to be held up for everybody. Unless it's necessary, we don't want to be. We need to be the kind of people that want other people to be honored. I mean, ain't that what the Bible tells you? Preferring the brethren, I believe is what it says. Children, honor your father and mother. I believe it says that. Hate pride. Hate pride in ourselves.
We need to be. Why would we hate pride in ourselves anyhow? Because we fear the Lord. Because we understand what He is. We understand who He is. And having come to an understanding of who He is, we know who we are. And if we know who we are, it becomes a lot easier to hurt somebody else. Because I might not know everything that went through your head, but I know what went through mine. And I know what I've done. I know who I am without God. And I tell you what, it ain't nothing to brag on. And if I can remember that, and if I can fear the Lord, if I can remember how holy He is and who I am, it's not too hard then for me to get rid of pride and to hate my own pride. Listen, there's a reason that I don't preach some things. I don't stand up here. I try my best not to stand up here and fill you full of it, just how you're the best church in America and this is the place where anybody that wants to walk with God just needs to go right here, because that pumps up pride. And you'll have a house full of Pharisees in a little while. You can do it. I've been in churches that did it. But I'd rather us recognize that we ain't nothing. And if there's anything good comes of any of us, it's all because of God and His grace and His mercy and Him working His will. I'd rather us know that and remember that we're nothing. And hate pride. Hate pride. Arrogancy, says. Arrogancy goes hand in hand with it. That's when, you know, when you stand up and you brag on your church and you brag on your pastor and you brag on everything down at your church house, and you look down your nose at the people at the other church houses and you look at how sorry they are, and boy, that's just a worldly bunch. Well, maybe they are. But let's not be too arrogant about it. Lord, help me out on that a couple of times. After Hurricane Rita come through, I remember I went. You know what? You remember the mess that was out there, and I was down in Lake Charles, and I was without electricity about 30-something days. And it was a mess just to get through. And some of the first groups that come down to help out were some of the loosest, most modern, worldly churches that there was out there. And the Lord let me look at that, and he was telling me something, teaching me something. Don't be too proud, boy. I'll work through whoever I want to work through. And I'm going to tell you, there can be a church out here that has all their doctrine upside down and backwards and don't know one end of the Bible from the other, use the wrong Bible. And if God wants to use them, He'll use them, and you ain't got nothing to say about it. It serves us really well if we'll hate arrogancy enough that we hate our own, that we're not arrogant about who we are. If you're bragging on a denominational shingle, you're ignorant. You're ignorant. What we've got to boast of is the Lord. We've got the Lord to boast of. And that's what we've got. Pride and arrogancy, to hate those things. Hate them in the evil way. Why does a preacher have to stand up and preach against everything that moves? Just trying to be mean? No. Because it's the evil way and it has to be pointed out. It says, cry aloud, spare not. Sound the trumpet. There's a reason why we name the sins that are in this present generation. You know, it seems like everywhere I go, the preachers right now are preaching against the homosexual marriages and the transgender thing that's going on with all the bathrooms. Well, they ought to. They ought to. Because you have to point out the evil way. And you have to be taught that the evil way being evil is to be hated. And that's right. There's some things we're supposed to hate. We're supposed to hate what evil does to people. There's a reason we preach against drugs and alcohol and drunkenness and running around. We just had a prayer request for a family of a boy that hung himself, messed up in drugs. We ought to hate that evil way. We ought to hate what it does to people. You ought to look back at the sins you've committed in your own life and hate how it affected you. And hate how it affected your husband or your wife. Because it did affect them. And hate how it affected your family. Sin needs to be hateful to us. The evil way needs to be something that we point out, that we recognize. Why do we point out the wickedness of the fads and the fashions of this world? And why is it that I stand up here, and I know I sound foolish probably in the ears of most of you sometimes, railing on Hollywood and things of that nature? It's because it's evil, it's wicked, and it's against God, and we need to know it's against God, and we need to hate the wicked way, hate the evil way, hate what it does to our community, hate what it does to our family, hate what it does to the testimony of Christ in this world. To love God is to hate evil. We need to hate some things. hate them for what they do. I hate to come into a church and see teenagers in full-blown rebellion. I don't hate teenagers, but I hate what the spirit of the world is doing to them. I hate to come in and see a middle-aged man and a woman sitting there with a mind on everything else in the world, just looking at their watch and ready for church to be over with. I don't hate them, but I hate what the spirit of the world is doing to them and how it's robbing them of the joy of the Lord. I hate to see them. I go out in town, and you do too, and go down to whatever store you go to, Tractor Supply or Walmart, it's about all you got here, and go out and see the whole world out there about half undressed. What little they got on has got a Bible verse on it, which is really shameful. That's why I don't even bother with t-shirts coming out of the church. I'm afraid somebody might wear one. I'm afraid of where they'll go when they wear one. Afraid of what they'll cut off of the shirt and then start wearing. You ought to hate those things. You hear me? When somebody asks you, well, you go to one of them churches that tells you how to hate? Yes. Yes. That's right. We ought to hate some things. Why? Because we fear the Lord. Because the Lord hates some things. The Lord has wrath. And the Lord's going to pour His wrath out upon this world and upon the sin and the sinners of this world. We ought to hate seeing what sin does to people and how it carries them off into a burning hell. Forever, all hope lost. We ought to hate that. Because the fear of the Lord ought to teach us that. Knowing who God is. Paul said, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. You understand that? Why is it we would try to reach out to get somebody in church just trying to brag about the numbers? No. But knowing the terror of God, understanding the wrath of God, fearing the Lord, we would reach out to try to save a soul. Trying to get them and grab them, even just pull them out of the fire. Because we fear the Lord. While we hate what's going on in the lives of people right now. Hate the fact that they're so preoccupied by everything in this world that they don't care about God. That's why I hate all the worldliness. Y'all know what worldliness is. It's not just a word your preacher slings out because he needs something else to preach about. It means being filled up with the spirit of this world. It means having your mind so much on deer hunting and football games and the sale down there at Cato or whatever that store is that you don't care what's going on at the house of God. That kind of stuff needs to be hateful in our sight. The evil way. Pride and arrogance. And the evil way. And the froward mouth. You know what froward means? You've heard of people going to and fro, haven't you? Coming to and fro. Toward or toward. Toward God would be moving toward God. Froward would be moving away from God. It means anything rebellious. Anything ungodly. An ungodly, a rebellious mouth. Specifically says the mouth. Forward mouth. You know that mouth tells on you. Whatever's, you've heard it said, whatever's in the well comes up in the bucket. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever's inside you is going to come out. And if you say, well, that ain't me speaking, and just every now and again I get mad. No, that's you speaking. That's you. That's really what's in your heart. And you tell it on what's in your heart. And if it ain't godly, it's ungodly. And if it's ungodly, it's forward. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? That means you get mad down there at work, and you call somebody every name but the right one. That's a forward mouth. You need to hate that. You go down to the ball game and somebody hits the ball and your boy or your girl don't get the call right from the umpire and you let the umpire know what you think about them. That's a forward mouth. And it's ungodly. Sitting there with the boys or with the girls, depending on who you are, swapping jokes and you remember that real funny one from way back and it's a little bit dirty. But since you know them all, you tell it anyhow. That's a forward mouth. Ain't nobody here said amen all night. These things we ought to hate. They don't mean we ought to get away from them or not like them quite as much. We ought to hate them. Hate them. Ought to be hateful to us. Why? Because the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord ought to drive us to hate that. I remember when I first got saved, that's when I found out how foul my mouth was. I didn't think I really had that foul mouth. Found out when I got saved, I did. Didn't take me long to hate that. Because if you've got the Spirit of God in you, if you've got the Holy Ghost in you, He can't stand that. And He'll let you know He can't stand it. If there's anything forward about our own speech, it ought to be something that we hate enough to run to God and ask Him, please help me. Please help me. That I not defile the name of Christ with that forward, backwards, ungodly speech. Let me get you one more verse. See, there's some things I ought to hate. There's some things that we ought to understand out of the fear of God. But let me move over one more chapter, chapter 9. It says, the fear of the Lord in verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, I've told you there's some things that you ought to hate. But you know the best way to drive out something that you hate? It's by focusing on something that you love. Focusing on something that you want. You replace a bad habit with a good habit, don't you? Isn't that how you do it? When somebody quits smoking, they usually tell them to go get some baby carrots or celery or something to gnaw on because you're trying to replace one habit with another. Well, listen, if you got some things to hate about yourself, some things that need to be driven out of yourself, some things about the natural man I'm talking about, because if any of that's true of the spiritual man, you ain't got God. Period. You ain't saved. But if any of that's true of the natural man, it just means you're like the rest of us. You got a natural man that has to be driven down and put under subjection every day. It has to be crucified every day. And if you want to know how to do that, and how to get that man in his place, and how to have dominion over the natural, and let the spiritual man rule over the natural man, it's by concentrating on the knowledge of the holy. It means you've got to get to know the holy. And who is that but God Himself? Get to know God through His Word. Get to know God through time in prayer. Get to know God by time alone, by calling out to Him, by listening to Him. You know, we call out to Him and ask Him and ask Him and ask Him, but how are we ever going to learn if we don't listen sometimes? You ever listen to God talk? Has God ever talked to you? He has, but have you ever heard it? Knowledge of the holy. How well do you know God? Can I ask you that? How well do you know Him? That's an embarrassing question, ain't it? Ain't none of us know Him like we ought to. But you know, you can know Him. I know there's times in the night where I felt His presence come up next to me. And I'm going to tell you, I felt it enough now to where you couldn't tell me no different, no matter how hard you try. I know it. I know my God. You say, was it God the Father or God the Son or God the Holy Ghost? Listen, I don't care. God's a Spirit. God's a Spirit. And I know Him when He comes by. And I know Him sometimes when I'm in prayer. And it may not be some highly emotional moment. It may be that I just drop by the altar and pray, and it may be one of those 15-second prayers. I've felt it sometimes before at another church when I was there and really didn't even feel anything in the service and went up to the altar just to say a quick prayer, and I felt the Lord. And I've felt Him enough now to where I know Him. I know His presence. We need to know His presence. You know, if we know His presence, it makes it easier. Sure does make it easier for us to hate our own pride. Because we got something to love. You know, it makes it easier if we know the holy way to hate the evil way. If all I've got in front of me is don't, this thing becomes hateful to me. But if I open it up in here and I see the way of Christ and He says, follow me, it becomes a lot easier to forsake the evil way where I can fall in love with the holy way. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's what will help you. Listen, don't feel Don't let this world embarrass you or put you on the spot that you don't like the things they do. You're supposed to hate the evil way. And you're supposed to love the good way. And don't be embarrassed by it. Don't let them browbeat you into thinking that you're supposed to go along with everything that they say and do. You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to even like all the things they say and do. Every year they come out with a new fad, and every year they come out with new colors and new hairdos and new clothes and new cars and new this and new that and new the other. And they've done it enough years in a row now, I know they're going to do it again next year. So I know whatever they came out with this year ain't much good either. But God came out with one way a long time ago that ain't never changed. And I'm just going to stick with that way that never changes. And I'm going to stick with what I know is going to be good. And I got a hold one day of salvation. It wasn't mine. It was God's salvation. And He gave it to me. And it's good enough. It's good enough to last forever. So I don't see no need for me to look for anything else. Amen. One day I got in touch with a God that was here before anything was. Before there was the heavens and the earth, there was this God that I know now. If He's been around that long, if He's going to be around forever, I guess that's all I need to know. I fear Him. I tell you, there are times I can look out and I can see the wind laying the trees over. I can see the day turn into darkness and I see and feel the wind blow. See the lightning flash. I think to myself, God in heaven is more powerful than this. The wrath of God is way more fearful than this. Anybody ever been out on the open ocean with the waves rolling where you couldn't even see land anywhere around? It's kind of fearful. Especially when the winds pick up and seas start getting a little rough. But God's more powerful than the ocean. More powerful than all the worlds that are. Bigger than everything that is. And I fear Him. Fear Him. Oh, I'm like you. Sometimes I get carried away in myself. And I forget about that fear of the Lord. I'm embarrassed to admit that, but it's true. And then something will come by and the Lord will remind me. I'll drive and somebody will barely miss me. I'll miss death by a couple of inches. And I'll remember. Remember how small I am. Or I'll say something foolish to somebody and walk off just as embarrassed as I can be inside me and ashamed of myself and realize that it's not me that's holy. It's God that's holy. My holiness is given from God. It's not of myself. And I'll have to go off somewhere and apologize to God. Repent. That's what we call it. Why? Because I know Him and I fear Him. I haven't learned a lot, but I've got that much knowledge. I've got to the beginning of knowledge. If I gain any knowledge from here on out, it'll have to be built on that. And so will yours. You know nothing if you don't fear God. But if you fear Him, that's when you start to learn. It's when you start getting wisdom. It's when you can start serving Him. It's all based on the fear of the Lord. So we're going to close out right here. It's Wednesday night. I really hope, that you gain from the Word of God what I hope you do. I'll tell you, this is a powerful, powerful gift that God gave us. I hope you read it for yourself. It'll change everything about you. It's powerful. Especially if you read it, thinking on the God that gave it. We'll close out here. So, Anthony, could you close us out in the Word of Prayer?